Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, what a Supreme Court decision may mean for unions. But first, what the Trump administration does next on a controversial immigration policy. The president is getting plenty of political pressure from influential people in both parties to end the practice of separating undocumented immigrants from their children. President heads to Capitol Hill this evening for a meeting with Republicans. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is leading the legislative charge to change the law. She tweeted yesterday, "The latest reports from the border indicate that large groups of children are being held in cages, and some children are so traumatized they've attempted suicide. President Trump could end this horrific policy today. If he won't, Congress must pass the hashtag Keep Families Together Act. That bill would prevent separation unless a child welfare expert confirmed that there was abuse involved. And every Democratic senator has signed on to it. But in order for it to become law, the president would have to sign it, too. What happens next? We're turning to Ted Hessen. He's an immigration reporter at Politico and with us from Washington. Ted, welcome and thanks for the time this morning. It's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
What's your guess on what happens with this meeting that the president is having with Republicans on the Hill?
I think the president and Republicans are facing pressure right now to address this issue and family separation. And you have to remember, this all stems from a policy that the Trump administration put forward to prosecute all people suspected of crossing the border illegally. And as a result, you have increased the likelihood of families being separated at the border. So, but with that, I mean, there's been a real fervor over what's happened and controversy, and now they feel like they need to address it. And I think that they'll try and move forward on some kind of legislative proposal.
That's what the attorney general put into effect, right? The zero tolerance policy. That went into effect some time ago, I believe in April. Why has it reached the kind of pitch and drawn the kind of attention that it has today?
That's right. I mean, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, rolled out this policy in April. And then in May, the Homeland Security Department decided or announced that they would refer all people suspected of crossing the border for prosecution to the Justice Department, which kind of was a second piece to this policy that's in action. And I think part of the reason it's getting attention now is that it took time for the policy to go into effect, for people to see how it would play out, to see exactly what the administration would do. And now you're really seeing the effects of that on the border. I mean, you're seeing reports of, kids left in fenced-in areas, in Border Patrol facilities. You're seeing, audio that was released yesterday of children crying. And I think it's, it's hard for any lawmaker here in D.C. to grapple with that, Republicans as well.
Ted, can you explain why the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, said that this is not the official policy of the Trump administration when Chief of Staff Kelly and Sessions have confirmed that it is indeed a deterrence tool? I mean, how can she say this? Other members of the administration say what they've said about it. What should we understand on this?
There have been all sorts of mixed messages flying around from the Trump administration about the cause of these family separations. I mean, you have Attorney General Sessions talking about the new policy openly. He announced it when it happened. He's gone out and defended it. And then you have Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who for a long time has said there is no new policy. We're just enforcing the law. These are things that are on the books. In some ways, she's correct in that they are enforcing the law. But there was a decision and a move by the administration to move towards prosecuting 100% of all people that are suspected of crossing the border. And that's a big change from what was happening before. I mean, that includes families and that includes asylum seekers.
So what we're saying here is that an administration, not only this one, has discretion in the way they're going to enforce these immigration laws, including we know there are millions of people living in the United States without documentation. These administrations don't decide that they are going to go into every community and find those people and deport them. Isn't that an example of the kind of discretion they have?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, for what it's worth, they're still not prosecuting 100% of people that are suspected of crossing the border. I mean, they said they announced that as their goal. For whatever reason, perhaps they don't have the capacity. I've been told by DHS that they're referring about 60% of suspected cases to the Justice Department for prosecution. So that means that they are using discretion,
right?
Even if they say that they're moving towards 100%. It's inevitable that they have to make some choices as long as they have limited resources. And some of these choices are about, you know, do you think it's a good thing to separate families? Is it worth the law enforcement trade-off?
Ted Hessen is with us. If you've just gotten in on the show, he's the immigration reporter at Politico, and we're talking to him this morning about some of the details of the family separation policy and the political fallout on this. President Trump going to Capitol Hill tonight to have a meeting with Republicans, and I'm sure this is going to be discussed. If you have a question about the politics of this, 651-227-6000, some of the details of the policy of it, I think we could also put that to Ted, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. Ted, I listened to a pretty adversarial interview this morning on NPR with Hogan Gidley. He's the deputy press secretary for the White House, and he was steadily maintaining, as the president has, that we wouldn't be seeing this policy enforced if not for the Democrats. So listen to what he said.
What Democrats are telling us, offering no solution, by the way, just ratcheted up rhetoric, they're saying you can't deport families. You can't deport families, you can't detain families, okay, and you can't prosecute families.
I just want to say one last time.
So what they want is for them to be released into the interior of the country without any documentation, without any paperwork. That's not what we can do as an enforcement branch of the federal government.
Ted, can you decode what this means when we hear it's the Democrats' fault?
I mean, deputy press secretary is just one administration official who's blamed the Democrats for this. The president has done so as well, repeatedly on Twitter. And I think their message and what they're trying to say is, I think they're trying to pin the blame for a policy they put into effect on the other party. And they've been called out for misleading statements, for not being accurate in that. I think they would argue that Democrats are not coming to the table and passing a law that allows them to detain kids and detain kids with their parents and then rapidly deport them. I mean, I think that's what the administration is looking for. So I think that, where they're blaming Democrats is that Democrats are not sitting down to the table with them and agreeing to the sort of legislation that they want.
I was just going to say, my understanding of this is part of the reason they can't seem to reach some agreement on immigration is not only around this policy, but also about the fact that the president wants a lot of money for a wall, and that doesn't have widespread support on Capitol Hill. I mean, all the other pieces of coming up with some immigration policy are also interfering in this, aren't they?
There are a lot of things at play here. So family separations are what's in the news right now and what's pressing and urgent for lawmakers to resolve. But the White House is also asking for, as you mentioned, upwards of $25 billion for a border wall, a huge sum of money, scaling back legal immigration significantly. So not illegal, legal immigration, which is not palatable to all Democrats and many Republicans as well. And then also other measures, changing asylum law, allowing you to be able to quickly deport unaccompanied children from Central America. I mean, they want a sweeping overhaul of the immigration system, and getting that done quickly, even in an emergency situation as what we're seeing now at the border, doesn't seem likely.
Call here from Maddie in St. Paul. Hi, Maddie. Your question for Ted.
Hi, Ted. So I really hope this doesn't sound emotionally charged, but it is kind of callous. My question is that we keep talking about deterrent methods, and it seems like nobody wants to accept the fact that they are actually required, that other countries have them. And so as cruel as it may sound, my curiosity stems from, honestly, statistics and numbers. Is there any data that shows that separating families trickles back to these countries and actually does say, you know, you risk losing your family. And if that's the case, then this deterrent measure, although callous, works. And then if it doesn't, then obviously it should be changed right away. And
okay.
I'm just curious why no one's ever answered or addressed that.
I think that's a good question. I mean, I think we're waiting to see. It's certainly never been done in this kind of systematic way of all families that approach the border are subject to separation and likely to be separated. So I think with that in mind, you'll look at arrest numbers on the U.S.-Mexico border, see if they do drop back off. I mean, it is also hard to just pin the trends of border traffic on one policy. And I think, as you mentioned, does the message get back to Central America? Certainly won't happen overnight. Some people have probably committed to this trip many months in advance, potentially have paid for it already, or perhaps just don't have any other options and will be coming one way or the other. So I think, you know, one measure will be, in the next few months, do we see any reduction in traffic at the border? And I think if there is, I mean, certainly the administration will hold that up as a victory.
Ted, are some of the seeds in this, when there was a lot of reporting about quote-unquote caravans of people coming north from Central America up to the border between the U.S. and Mexico? I mean, I thought I remembered a lot of reporting on that in April, and that seems to be when Sessions started talking about zero tolerance.
Yeah, as we know, the president was really irate at this idea that you could have a caravan of hundreds of people traveling through Mexico openly saying that they're coming, potentially coming to the U.S. border. And I think that did get under his skin and did prompt the administration to take some sort of action here. The other thing that's at play is they saw arrests on the border going up compared to that first year when Trump was in office. I mean, when he came into office, border arrests really plummeted, which is a sign that there's less traffic down there. And then more recently, we've seen almost triple the number of arrests in May compared to May a year earlier. So I think, you know, the Trump administration is saying to themselves, how do we get back in this place? Now, one thing to note is that historically, they're still relatively low. This past May was actually slightly lower than any May over the last decade, an average of May over the last decade. So we're right in keeping with the last decade or so trends.
Okay. I'm really glad you said that, because I just made a note to note again, every time we talk about immigration, I talk about this, that net migration is at one of the lowest levels it's been at, well, in more than a decade, isn't it?
That's true, yeah, and particularly from Mexico, there are fewer people coming illegally overall. And then I think at the same time, I mean, but the flows have changed. And now you're more likely to encounter Central American children and Central American families at the border. And for the Trump administration, they're not willing, you know, I think any illegal immigration is going to be an issue for them. And they're going to keep being on the attack until they've brought it down.
A call here for you from Bill in Roseville. Hi, Bill. Your question.
Yeah, I think it's I think, you know, this is a complicated issue generally, but it's also quite simple what's going on here. It's quite obvious that Trump really doesn't care about these kids that much. He's just using these kids as pressure to pressure the Democrats to give him his wall. It's as simple as that.
Is it leverage, Ted, in this debate? He, and indeed, adding what Bill just said, he could stop this today if he wanted to, couldn't he?
I mean, the president has suggested as much in tweets that if Democrats would come to the table and agree to his requests on immigration enforcement and the border, that this could all be over. So I think he's at the very least implied that this is a moment that they're using to leverage for legislation. Now, whether that actually happens is another question. I think Democrats also view this as a chance to really expose the Trump administration as callous and cruel when it comes to immigration and crossing lines and places, things that the enforcement front shouldn't be done. And I think they have really pushed Republicans into a difficult place of somehow trying to justify this policy and be on the same side as the president, but also answer to their constituents.
Good question here from Andrew on Twitter, who says, can we get some clarification about who's being separated from their families? I hear asylum seekers being used. Are people being separated simply for seeking asylum or only after having crossed illegally? Then he adds, it's terrible either way, but one is far worse. What's your knowledge on that, Ted?
The general policy is to have 100% prosecution of people caught crossing, suspected of crossing the border illegally. So those are people who are not at a port of entry with entry documents. They've been intercepted somewhere along the border, and many of them are asylum seekers. We don't have exact stats on how many actually claim asylum, but they're seeking asylum, but they're not actually at the ports of entry. Now, one thing the administration has said is that if you are an asylum seeker, you should just go to a port, wait there and tell them that you're seeking asylum, and you won't be at risk for being charged with illegal entry. Now, that being said, there have still been accounts of families being separated when they go to a port. So I think there's an element of, you know, there's not necessarily safe haven for an asylum-seeking family if they go to a port of entry as well.
One last question. I thought I heard a news item where the president was quoted as saying he was willing to shut down the government in September if he didn't get the money for his wall. Did I hear that right?
He has said that. I believe he said that on several occasions. I mean, we're coming up on September 30th, another deadline for Congress to pass a spending bill to keep the government funded. And the interesting part of this particular deadline is that we have midterm elections in early November. So it really could be a showdown from both parties to show that to their base that they're out there and serious about accomplishing their goals. Where it all lands is hard to say. I mean, here in Washington, you've probably seen they often kind of get to the brinksmanship of almost shutting the government down and then put a Band-Aid on it for a few months and come back to it later. But I guess we'll see as time goes on.
Ted, thanks much for the benefit of your reporting and your experience this morning. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Ted Hessen is immigration reporter at Politico.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at KERRI NPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.